Shalom, אנחנו לומדים.
Hello. We're studying the article, What is the reason for which Israel were rewarded with inheritance of the land and the work? Article number 4 by the Rabash. You can ask questions live on CAP TV. Rabash, Article 44, What is the reason for which Israel were rewarded with inheritance of the land and the work?
From today, we're going to start studying materials about Passover, entering Egypt, enslavement in Egypt, coming out and running away from Egypt, all of that period until Shavuot, the preparation to Shavuot, to receiving the Torah, meaning towards what are we studying this? And then with the receiving the Torah, so correction of the soul, and we reach Gmar Tikkun. So this is what we're starting to learn, the materials about Passover. This will be every day. Let's hope we go through it intensively. Today you can also, you're going to summarize the lesson. We're speaking especially about this lesson, the first one, because the second lesson from today onward, we're going to try to go through tests from part one every day until, with God's help, we will also finish it. Anyway, to see, take this as a new beginning, please.
Article number 44, Rabash. The verse says, it is not for your righteousness or the integrity of your heart that you are going to inherit the land, but it is because of the wickedness of the nations that the Lord your God is driving them out from before you. And in order to fulfill the oath that the Lord swore to your fathers, we should understand this, for it implies that the reason that the Creator gave the inheritance of the land to the people of Israel is, as it is written, because of the wickedness of the nations, the Lord your God is driving them out from before you. That is, were it not for the wickedness of the nation, there would not be any interest in giving the inheritance of the land. We should also understand the second reason. He says that it is because the Lord swore to your forefathers, were it not for the oath, would the Creator not need to give the land to the people of Israel? This is difficult to understand. Our sages said the world was created only for Israel. This means that all the good things that exist in the world are for Israel. This implies that it is for different reasons that the people of Israel are given the good, expansive, and coveted land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The text provides two reasons. One, the wickedness of the nations. Two, the oath that he swore to your forefathers. Yet the writing tells us that we should not be mistaken that the reason he is giving us the inheritance of the land is our righteousness and the integrity of our heart. Rather, it is for the two above-mentioned reasons. Baal HaSulam said about what is written, and he said to him, to give you this land to inherit it. He said, how will I know that I will inherit it? And he said to Abraham, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and they will be torment, and they will torment them for, and they will torment them 400 years, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. He asked, what is the answer that the Creator replied to what Abraham asked? How will I know that I will inherit it? The Creator said, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. This means that the answer was to the question, how will I know? That is, Abraham says that he wants guarantees about the inheritance. So the Creator answers him so that by this answer he will be certain of the inheritance of the land. Thus, we should understand the answer, for it contains a guarantee of the inheritance. He said that this means that when the Creator told him to give you this land to inherit it, Abraham saw the greatness and importance of this land. Since the matter of the inheritance of the land refers to Malchut, which receives all the lights from above and bestows upon the souls, since Malchut is called the Assembly of Israel. Abraham saw according to the rule that there is no light without a kli, meaning that there is no filling without a lack, that if the Creator were to give Israel a little bit of illumination and awakening from above, they will settle for little and will have no need for higher degrees. As a result, Abraham saw that there was no way for the people of Israel to receive the inheritance of the land since they have no need for it.
We can see that it repeats like the story with the Ahasuerus, with the man that you have to raise him and then give it to Mordechai.
This was the question, how will I know? It is not that he did not believe what the Creator had told him. Rather, his question was that he said that he could not see them having a need for it. It is like giving something precious to a person who has no need for it. He cannot enjoy it. It follows that even if they're given the inheritance of the land without the need, they will not be able to enjoy it. Although from the perspective of the giver, everything is fine. If the lower one has no need, what can the giver do? This is what Abraham asked. The answer was, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers. That is, they will be in exile in Egypt, which is called a land that is not theirs. Meaning that the people of Israel who want to work for the sake of the Creator, the Egyptians will control them. Each time the people of Israel will want to come out of exile, as it is written, and the children of Israel sighed from the work, and their cry went up to God from the work. Generally, the nations of the world are called will to receive for oneself. However, there are many desires in the will to receive, and each desire is attributed to a specific nation. This is why they're called, in general, the 70 nations of the world, corresponding to the 70 discernments and the desire. This extends in a manner of one opposite the other, meaning opposite the seven sefirot of Kedusha, holiness, which are Chagat Neim, each of which consists of 10 sefirot, which together make 70 nations. Also, there is the discernment of Israel, which are named after Yashar Kels, straight to the Creator. These are opposite from the will to receive for oneself, but are rather discerned as the desire to bestow upon the Creator. In other words, he wants to bring contentment to his maker. Therefore, since the Egyptians controlled them, they had to do all their work for the Egyptians and not for the Creator. This is why it says, and the children of Israel sighed from the work. It means that the children of Israel wanted to work for the sake of the Creator, but the Egyptians controlled them. This is why they sighed. That is, they saw that not only were they not progressing, they were retreating. This is why it is written, and their cry went up to God from the work. Then, when they saw that they could not emerge from exile by themselves, they asked the Creator, as it is written, and their cry went up to God. that is. The Creator helped them come out from the exile in Egypt. This is as the Zohar says about what was said, "He who comes to purify is aided." It asks, with what? And it replies, with a holy soul. It follows that specifically when they're under the governance of evil, do they see each time more so the governance of evil? At that time, a person comes to feel two things. One, the will to receive, which is the governance of the Egyptians, is so bad that it removes him from the Creator. That is, before he began the work in order to bestow, he did not know how much harm the will to receive causes him. This is so for the known reason that a person is not shown the power of the evil at once. Rather, he is shown bit by bit, for otherwise he'll immediately escape from the work and say that this is not for him. According to the above, we should interpret the words of Rambam, who says that the matter of Lishma is not revealed to a person at the beginning of the work, but until they gain knowledge and acquire much wisdom. They are shown that secret little by little. We should understand what it means that they are shown that secret little by little. We should understand how there can be such a thing as little by little. After all, when a person is told that he must do everything lishma, everything is revealed to him. What else is there to reveal? We should interpret that when he says they are shown, who is it who shows them the secret of the matter of lishma? We should also understand what he says, until they gain knowledge and acquire much wisdom. Who knows that one has been rewarded with until they gain knowledge and acquire much wisdom? We could understand this as the Torah says about the verse, or make it known to him that he has sinned. He asks, who made it known to him? And he replies, the Creator. We should understand why he says that the Creator makes it known to him that he has sinned. In what way did he inform him? We should interpret this in the manner that is written in the Sulam. If one engages in Torah and mitzvot even for his own pleasure, through the light in it, he will still feel the loneliness and the terrible corruptness in the nature of receiving for oneself. At that time, he will resolve to retire from this nature of reception and completely devote himself to bestow contentment upon his Maker. Then, the Creator will open his eyes to see before him a world filled with utter perfection, without any deficiencies whatsoever. Now we can understand how the Creator informs him that he has sinned. We should interpret that even when a person learns lo lishma, the light in it informs him that the will to receive is the cause of all the evil, the obstructor to man's ability to receive these delight and pleasure that he wishes to give to the Creator being, to the created beings. And the light in the Torah is regarded as the Creator notifying to a man that he has sinned. We should also interpret why Rambam says that we must begin to accustom a person to work in lo lishma and not in lishma. This is so because the matter of lishma is revealed to a person by his receiving the light of the Torah. It follows that if he does not engage in Torah, even if lo lishma, from where will he take the light of the Torah? This is why Rambam says that we must begin with lo lishma. By this we will understand what we asked. Who knows if they have been rewarded with much wisdom, so it is permitted to reveal to them the matter of lishma. The answer is that the light in the Torah knows how much they are inspired by the light of the Torah. And to that extent, it is possible to reveal to them the matter of Lishma. By this, we will understand what Rambam says, that they are shown that secret little by little. It means that the matter of for the sake of the Creator means not for one's own sake. A person must feel what is not for one's own sake. And this reveals to him the light of the Torah. Hence, each time the light shows him the amount of bad that is in the will to receive. Since through the light that a person receives from the Torah, he sees each time a little bit of the bad that there is in the will to receive. This is why he says that he has shown little by little. Evil is interpreted in two manners. One, the quality of the evil, meaning how much one loses by receiving for himself. Two, how much the body objects to the work of bestowal. Those two a person receives from the light in the Torah, little by little. This is the meaning of the words, they are shown that secret little by little. That is, through the light that he receives from the Torah in Lolishma, he reveals the two above matters. In other words, the measure of the evil found in the will to receive and the measure of the resistance of the body, each time to a greater extent, when one sees that he is able to overcome, this is why it says little by little, meaning that each time the light reveals to him, which is called that it is impossible to reveal to him at once. Now we can understand what we asked. Why does the writing say that specifically through the wickedness of the nations they were rewarded with the inheritance of the land? The reason is, as the Creator promised Abraham, that in this way, meaning if Israel suffer from the Egyptian exile, meaning all the nations of the world with all the bad qualities in them, want to control the people of Israel, and the people of Israel want specifically to do everything for the sake of the Creator and not for the sake of the 70 nations. All that time they feel the lack, and they will see that they are powerless to overcome them. Then it will be as it is written, and the children of Israel sighed from the work, and their cry went up to God from the work. At that time the Creator will give them the required help for this. That is, each time they will be rewarded with a holy soul. And this will be the reason that the children of Israel will need to receive the inheritance of the land, since they will receive it out of necessity, to save themselves from the control of the nations of the world. This is the meaning of the words, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out from before you. In other words, specifically through the wickedness of the nations, the Creator can give them the inheritance of the land of Israel. Since the sensation of bad, when they reveal that this evil obstructs from achieving nearness to the Creator, for this is all that we need, since the matter of near and far in spirituality is the matter of equivalence of form. When there is equivalence of form between the light and the kli, the light dresses in the clean. Hence, the sensation of evil called wickedness of the nations causes the need to be rid of the bad. And then a person begins to purify himself from reception for oneself and sees that it is out of his hands. At that time, he begins to pray to the Creator to help him. As our sages said, he who comes to purify is aided. As it said in the words of the Zohar, he is given a holy soul. In other words, Each time he receives help from above by being given a soul, it follows that the ascents and descents are the reason that caused the need and desire to receive the inheritance of the land. This is why he says that the reason is that the Lord swore to your forefathers. That is, it is not that the reason is that he swore to your forefathers and this is why he is giving them the inheritance of the land. We asked, but our sages said about what is written, Bereshit, in the beginning, there is no Reshit, beginning, but Israel. It follows that it was all for Israel, and not because of the oath he swore to the forefathers. Yet we should interpret that when the people of Israel are qualified to receive the inheritance of the land, when they have a need for the inheritance of the land, because, as he says, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out from before you. This is the reason that the children of Israel will inherit the land. It is known that land is called Malchut, and Malchut is called the Assembly of Israel. Since she assembles within her everything that there is in Zeranpin, who is called Israel, this is called the unification of the Creator and His Shechina, divinity. Through this unification, abundance pours out to the souls. All this comes from the beginning of the thought of creation, as our sages said. There is no beginning but Israel. This means that the purpose of creation, which is his desire to do good to his creations, refers to the children of Israel, but in what way will they receive the delight and pleasure? The text tells us about this, that.
Okay, till here, are there any questions? Please wake up, recuperate, each one, you know, shake up his friend a bit, help him. Yeah, especially Rami there. That's not enough, I don't hear the slaps. Okay. Oh, here. What we just read about? Not a step ahead or back. What?
Where he says that the purpose of creation...
You, in your question, you want to help the friends to understand the text, right? And not whatever you feel like. That's what you meant? Okay.
He says that the purpose of creation, which is his desire to delight his creatures, and he means the people of Israel by it.
Yeah.
I thought that the purpose of creation is for the nations of the world, and Israel is just a transition.
Yeah, but Israel are the ones who realize it. That's why it's speaking about them right now. For now, it's this. The final goal is that everybody reaches the degree of Israel, Yeshar Kel. That's why it's not written about those who are implementing, but when all humanity, all the desires will reach the correct intention, will acquire the right intention.
It says that the main reason for which they will be qualified to receive is
as much as the will to receive is bigger, then a person can see that he must get rid of it, meaning of the intention to the receive, not the desire itself. That's it. That's how it works. Just like we learned in Purim, that without raising a man, we can see that we need Mordechai because there's nobody to correct. More? That's it? Good. Yes.
It says that by the light they will feel terrible corruption of the will to receive, and then his heart will be able to distance itself from this intention, give contentment to the Creator, and so on. It as if depends on one's exertion.
Yes, it depends on his exertion, of course.
So what's the difference then? where it says that he should do everything possible.
I don't understand.
It says, and then he shall allow his heart to retire from the nature of reception. Because it's not up to the person.
What do you mean it's not up to him? It's up to the person's exertion. I am aiming myself to none else besides him. That he is the cause to everything that is happening to me. And I see that between me and the Creator, I see the world, this fake world, that brings me all kinds of problems. I have to imagine this world as a copy of my internality. We studied in perception of reality that what we have in me, I see that outside of me. Meaning, if I recognize your form outside of me, it means that you're inside me. What certain kind of desire and qualities and everything there is, and I see it in front of me. To the extent that I correct my attitude towards you, my external attitude, I am supposedly returning, bringing you back in. You are included in me. I stop seeing you outside of me. Just like we have a process that we go through pregnancy, birth, then gradually reach gadlut. So this is the opposite form. We're going back to our source. We're going inward. We're studying the internality of the Torah and going inward. Meaning all of the perception of reality that I see outside of me, I actually need to try and see where are those qualities inside. Let's say I see all kinds of phenomena in this world, good, bad, doesn't matter. It is desired that I find it inside me, and I will try to correct my attitude towards them, to correct my desire. In other words, in order to bestow. If my desire will be in order to bestow, and I will identify with the Creator in it, it'll be me and the Creator as one. That's called adhesion. That's why it is desired for us to see the external reality, that it is external from the corruptions in us, and should be the inner reality. That's why we're studying the internality of the Torah. We're studying that everything is in us, that everything is in man needs to be corrected. And when we say that there's none else besides him and we have to adhere to him, it's in that direction. And now the main thing is, just like in Purim, that we need to understand that increasing the will to receive in order to receive is essential. Because without that, I cannot recognize that I have evil, that I have something to correct. As much as I'm worthy for these corrections, I see that before me there's something or someone that is doing something against me. How do I correct that against me? I say that there's none else besides him. It's coming from the Creator. And I need to correct this quality in me to unite it with the Creator. And then the external phenomena disappears. Like with Haman in me. It shows me that there's something uncorrected in me. That is the preparation for the recognition of evil. Yes.
What does it mean to unite it to the Creator? What is that there about this point? If I discover that there is something external and I know that He's on the inside and I unite it to the Creator.
Yeah, by working on Israel, the light and the Creator are one, or that there's none else besides them. Same thing. Yes, either.
Why the seven nations of the world in this place called Israel are called the nations, and this is actually where Israel have to be, and chase them out. Why are they called nations?
Goy, the translation of Goy is a nation. That's it.
So why specifically there?
A nation, a desire. And there's a desire that is for completely in order to receive. It's a klipa. And then there's a desire that is aimed towards the Creator, that is called Yeshar Kel. A desire. We're speaking about desires. So the desires within man are divided not only to the seven nations, the 70 nations. Yeah.
Why specifically this and that place in Palestine, that this is where the people
what?
Of Israel...
There's no word like that in Kabbalah.
Specifically that place.
What place? Place is called a desire.
Why not in Egypt? You don't have shells in Egypt. You don't have what you need.
Egypt is the world to receive in order to receive.
So why didn't they get it in inheritance there?
You take all the desires from Egypt and pass them on to the degree of the land of Israel through the 40 years of the desert, through the correction of Bina. From Malchut you raise them to Bina, and from Bina you raise them to Keter. That is called that you come out of Egypt to Sinai and from Sinai to Israel.
Why not India? Why not other desires?
I don't know what desire exactly India is in a person. I have no idea. India, China, obviously, yes. Whatever exists in reality, you can say there's a star somewhere. Afat and Tavra. What desires that in be? Go and search for it. I don't know. I didn't attain that. But obviously, if it exists, so it exists on the outside in an imaginary way because it's actually inside. I see my internality. That's why you're saying Egypt. So I'm telling you, Egypt is the will to receive, in order to receive, and Pharaoh is its symbol. But there's a worse klipa than that. Which is Amalek, that is completely like Haman. It's the same family.
Why are the nations of the world called the nations of the world? Because there is no holiness there yet.
Goyim means will to receive before correction. And the will to receive that is going to be corrected, or corrected already, is called a sacred goy. That means that to Malchut, the quality of Bina, is added the intention to bestow. You must think about it a lot. It has to be absorbed in a way that this picture has to already be your inner picture, that through it, you're looking at the world. What did I just say? Before I talk to you, that I'm looking at the world, and what I see, I actually want to recognize these things inside, what I see from the outside. I have to recognize them inside, and the internality I have to correct, then the externality will be corrected. We can never correct the externality. Look, speak to people on the street. They'll tell you, you want to correct the world? You're so naive. How can that be? You can't correct anything. And they're right. What does the upper providence tell us? It brings us to a state that we will lift our hands up and say, yeah, you can't correct anything. So what do we do? So they say there's a method of correction. Everything you see from the outside is evil. It's Aman growing, Pharaoh growing. Instead of the good, it becomes bad. Why? In order for you to correct it, but understand that the correction is inside. And then, in according to that, you will see a world that is all good. Slowly, patiently, with like an easy approach, you start thinking about it and receiving, accepting it. First of all, think about it without asking questions about it. Think and think and think. Take this form, take this picture, take this approach, and then when it is absorbed, then you start scrutinizing the different ways you perceive it. Okay?
Me?
Who?
No.
Okay. I understand that Aretz is Ratzon, a desire. And if we're speaking about the nation of Israel, that isn't a nation, but it's like a pipeline.
The people of Israel is a part of the desire that's directed in order to bestow. Is nonetheless a desire, and in order to bestow, this is why it's called Yashar Kel. If it is aimed at itself, inwards, for itself, it's called a goy, a nation. Nations of the world.
So it's the intention to bestow. So what do they need the land for? Why aren't they scattered between the nations and pass the light? Why do they have to sit in some corporeal place?
Land is a desire. I probably started with this a bit early. Aretz is a desire.
But there's people too.
In our world, yeah, there's a copy, therefore it exists. Look, maybe from this you'll understand. It says that at the end of corrections, the land of Israel spreads to the entire world. This you understand. Meaning, not only from the Nile to the Euphrates, but you have the entire globe, and then the land of Israel spreads all over this entire globe, covering everything. So it says.
So the state of the Jews is temporary.
You can interpret it however you want. I'm telling you what it says in the Torah. You see it by way of anyone who blemishes, does it due to his own flaws. We're talking about inner, spiritual discernments that exist inside of us and only. What a koka.
I'm asking about the approach. When he speaks about the evil, so he's speaking about flaws he sees outside of him. The feeling of the bad, recognition of evil.
Everything's inside of him. The wisdom of Kabbalah doesn't talk about anything besides a person's internality. Kabbalists don't see outside of themselves.
So why is that approach of perception of reality? It's all flaws that are outside of me that I have to correct.
They explain it to you, that everything that you see outside of yourself is your own projection, the projection of your internality.
So the evil or flaws that are in me, when we read about evil, it's flaws in me.
Yeah, and it's also a question. Because you can say, this is a flaw, so it's bad, and this isn't, so it's good. So anyone who blemishes does it because of his own flaws. It doesn't mean that it's good.
So in relation to what is it bad?
Regarding your degree.
Yeah, but in relation to what? My degree related to what? What do I measure if it's bad or not?
Toward how corrupted or corrupt you are.
But in relation to what?
Toward yourself. There is no absolute relation. How can you have that? You have neither klipa nor kedusha. You have what you are. And in the beast that you are, you have some difference between black and gray. This is what you see.
But in relation to as much as I receive to myself, to as much as I subjugate, there needs to be something that I know if I'm evil or not.
No, you don't. You know, relatively, this is why it says anyone who blemishes does it because of his own flaws. Look, you work in mechanics. So how do you measure? You have certain bases with respect to which you measure everything. There has to be some kind of a standard. Here you don't. Gradually, you start discovering it between good and bad, and it changes all the time. Like Rabbi Zushi says, I have a new creator every day.
So when they side, with that state they reached, it should be towards something. What you just reached to pray can just pray for nothing.
Yeah. You're just praying. True. Later, you'll laugh at all of your prayers, your cry, your everything. That's how it is with babies, with children, with youth, everything according to their degree.
So you never know if you're going correctly.
You never. That's true. Never. You always have to go above your current will to receive. This is the measurement.
And where are we going?
Where? To love of others. You have precise measurements if you want. Against your current will to receive. We want to finish the article, please.
It turns out that a person can ascend on the degrees of sanctity unless he finds a deficiency in the state he's in. Meaning, the deficiencies a person feels give a person a need to find a way by which to satisfy his deficiencies. But if he does not feel any lack within him, although he might know that he has deficiencies in the work, but he does not pain him. It does not pain him. So this lack cannot be satisfied because he does not seek counsels for it. And without an awakening from below, meaning without a person asking the Creator from the bottom of the heart, the prayer cannot be answered. Because if he is not suffering from the absence, he cannot ask with all his heart. This is as it is written in the Midrash, seeking good. For the Lord your God blessed you in all the works of your hands, even if you sit idly. The meaning of all the works of your hands is that if he did, he is blessed, and if he's not, he's not blessed. We therefore see that without an awakening from below, meaning if there is no work on part of the lower one, the blessing cannot come. The question is why? The answer is that when a person begins to work, the work gives him the need for it. That is, there is a difference in the need for the matter. This means that we should understand to what extent a person wants to obtain what he wants. Since the work and the counsels that a person invests in order to obtain what he wants expand the lack for the matter. So when he obtains it, he will be able to enjoy it. Therefore, when speaking in the work, although there is a need within man to ascend in the work, that need still does not make within him a necessity for the matter. So naturally, when he is given something from above, and he still does not know how to appreciate what he is given, he will lose it into the sitra acha, since he will not be wise enough to know how to appreciate something in spirituality. This is as our sages said, who is a fool? He who loses what he is given. That is, when a person does not know how to appreciate when he is given some nearing from above, it promptly leaves him and he suffers a descent, since he does not know how to keep the nearing. Normally, if someone is permitted to enter somewhat into the king's courtyard, he is concerned and seeks ways to which enter the king's house, and he does not settle for being in the king's courtyard. Therefore, when a person is brought a little closer, he is happy that he was brought closer and does not worry about finding ways to go forward. Therefore, that person is thrown out. Then, when he suffers a descent, which is called a road accident, meaning that he had an accident as he was going to approach the king, that is, another car crashed into his car, meaning that the car of the corporeal world crashed into the car of the desire to bestow, and then all the vitality that he had from the desire to bestow departed from him, and he was left unconscious. In other words, now he feels that he no longer has spiritual life. Rather, until he gradually recovers and begins to feel that his entire vitality on which he now lives is only from the will to receive for himself. At that time, he begins to seek advice once more how to re-enter the work of bestowal. It follows that in order to have a deficiency, to need to ascend the degrees of the work of bestowal, he is given from above the descent. So he would have a need to advance, since without a real need, a person cannot receive what he should obtain. Hence, if a person wants to keep himself from having a road accident, he should keep himself so he does not crash with the car of the will to receive. By this, he will be certain that he will not lose what he is given, meaning the ascent he has received. According to the above, we should interpret what is written, "Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there." We should interpret that in the work. A person must remember that he had a descent before he came to an ascent, meaning that the Creator let him feel the bad in him. In other words, a person should believe that this feeling that he is a slave among the Egyptians, namely that he has no permission to do anything for the sake of the Creator, but all that he does is only for the sake of the Egyptians within man. This comes from the Creator. Afterward, he must remember that now that he is in a state of ascent and feels that he is somewhat close to Kedusha, he must remember that he should go forward. Therefore, now he must remember that as he was previously a slave, meaning that he was in a state of descent, now he also needs to find within him a lack, so he will need to go forward. Otherwise, he will have to be given a descent from above, since without a need, a person cannot advance and must stay in the state he is in. Therefore, in order not to need to be given a descent during the ascent, he must find within him a place of lack. This is the meaning of what is written, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there. It therefore follows that a person should begin the work like the general public, meaning in practice, and to aim that it will be for the sake of the Creator. This means that a person observes Torah and mitzvot because the Creator gave us the Torah of life, whereby observing what the Creator commanded us, we will be rewarded. As our sages said, you can trust your landlord to reward you for your work. By this, we will be happy in this world and happy in the next world. The fact we must believe that even if views and thoughts that do not let us believe come to us, we must ask the Creator to give us the power to believe. Afterward, there is a higher degree, which is not in order to receive reward. Rather, he is rewarded with feeling that observing the Torah and mitzvot regarded for him as though he is serving a great king. From this, we come to inherit the land.
Okay. What the articles my teacher wrote.
Denise from Moscow is asking, how can we now activate the awakening from below?
Mainly together, by awakening each other. A person by himself can't be in any kind of itpa'alut or transcension or ascend more than for a moment.
From Israel, what will help me convince myself that everything from outside is inside, even that it sounds like philosophy?
It's not philosophy. You're a philosopher if you think that what's outside of you is outside of you. Here you're told about real actions by which you can change yourself, and this way to change the world that you live in, because the world is your projection. It's not philosophy. It's the other way around. You're a philosopher if you don't accept it. And what do you have from all the work that you're doing trying to change the world? This curse in the wisdom of Kabbalah is called world reformers, that instead of correcting themselves, they're trying to correct what's outside of them. Think that it's real. Like children that think that what they're playing is the truth. That the rag doll, that's the truth, and not the real baby.
Konstantin from the virtual group is asking, it says to start from Lo Lishma. How can I tell if I started or not?
This is exactly what I'm saying. If you're in none else besides him, the good that does good, and this is what you're directed at, to none else besides him, the good and benevolent, then all the reality that you see, it has to be what connects you to the Creator, that you relate everything to the Creator, and to relate to the Creator, or to relate to your soul, to yourself, is one and the same. Because eventually, you have to be Israel, which is man, and Olaita, which is everything that connects, and Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Creator, are one. Vilnius.
Shomim? Lo shomim.
We can't hear you.
No. Lo shomim.
Can't hear you. Can't.
Tov, ala.
Okay, next. Yeah.
The nations is working on the vessel.
Again?
He's saying that we can't inherit the land without the evil of the goyim.
The wickedness of the nations, it's not the work, it's the state that you reach, where you feel that the will to receive is evil, standing in my way of reaching the purpose of creation. Then I say, the wickedness of the nations. A nation, it means the will to receive, in order to receive. And the wicked, it means that I determine that it's bad. Translation.
No.
Rav, how do you keep that nearing?
Nearing to what?
To sanctity, to the Creator.
All the time thinking about none else besides Him. Yeah.
What is this process of uniting a phenomena with outside of me to the Creator and it becomes internal?
The whole of reality is one. We have to unite everything. Israel, Oraita, and the Creator is a formula that we have to put all of these parameters together and then we get the truth, the true reality.
How does a person do it? There's a person, a desire in front of him.
I explained. And you should try. If you can, you can. If you can't, then half a year or a year. That's how it is.
But still, what is this process? What does a person do inside? What does this phenomena become? What happens with him? Let's say a person loves his child so much, he feels him inside, all of him.
It's a natural feeling.
The same thing has to happen with a friend?
Even more.
What does that mean?
Because this is on the animate level, and we're speaking on the speaking level, the love that we're talking about, it has to be much more... It says that a person leaves his home and his wife and his mother and father. In short, it's a different level of dvikut, of adhesion. Look at it in terms of degrees, not just words.
So what does that mean, that the friend is a desire, and through that desire, a person is adhered to the Creator?
The friend is your inner desire, and if you adhere to the friend, meaning to this inner desire, and there's no difference between you and the friend, this means that you have already corrected your desire so much that you can feel the Creator in it. Therefore, adhesion with the friend or with the Creator is the same adhesion. And we're moving on to the next part.
We'll go to the next part of the lesson.
Whatever happens from now on, we'll try.